Today's scripture lesson comes from John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 31. I'm reading from the Common English Bible version. It can be found in the New Testament on page 104. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will send another companion who will be with you forever. The companion is the Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive because it neither sees him nor recognizes him. You know him because he lives with you and will be with you. I won't leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live too. On that day you will know that I am in my Father. You are in me, I am in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them loves me. Whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Judas said, or asked, Lord, why are you about to reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered, whoever loves me will keep my word. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever doesn't love me doesn't keep my word. The word that you hear isn't mine. It is the word of the Father who sent me. I have spoken these things to you while I am with you. The companion, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I told you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I give to you not as the world gives. Don't be troubled or afraid. You have heard me tell you, I'm going away and returning to you. If you love me, you would be happy that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than me. I have told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you will believe. I won't say much more to you, because the world's ruler is coming. He has nothing on me. Rather, he comes so that the world will know that I love the Father and do just as the Father has commanded me. Get up. We're leaving this place. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. It's my privilege to be with you this morning. It's been a few years since I've been in your sanctuary, but it's always good to see you and to be in this place. If you're like me, you like to know, if you don't know the person who's speaking, you like to know just a little bit about that person. I was a pastor in the Pittsburgh area for 27 years until I met and fell in love with Ellen Brubaker, a pastor in his conference. I served the Granville Church. I was the conference director for you for 8 years, and then I was at University United Methodist Church in East Lansing, the Spartan Church, before I retired. But it's always good to be here. I know a few of you, but not many. But I think I know a bit about you as Christians who serve faithfully in a church like this. I have heard it a number of times as a pastor through all these years. People say to me, I just wish I could talk to Jesus. I just wish somehow he could be here with me now. I wish he could walk beside me. So I've got all these questions that I'm sure Jesus could answer for me. Where's Jesus when I need him? I was preaching, saying some words, something like that, a couple months ago. And suddenly I heard a voice speaking to me. And I didn't really want to be distracted from what I was saying, but what's that voice? And I realized it was coming out of my pocket. Suddenly I realized I had the phone on silent. But somehow Siri heard what I was saying, and she said, you're going to have to ask your spiritual question to somebody else. A lot of us don't have the confidence of being able to answer spiritual questions. How many times have you asked or thought something like that, and somebody says, well, you'll have to ask the pastor or somebody else, and you just think, where's Jesus when I need him? The classic story about that is the one we hear right after Easter, the road to Emmaus. Jesus is actually walking with them to the other town, but they don't recognize him. They tell him what's happened in the days of Holy Week and Easter, but it isn't a recognition of who he is until they sit down and break bread together. What would it be like? What would you ask Jesus if you were at table with him and you were able to ask those questions right to him? Would you recognize Jesus? What would he look like? Who would he be? And what are those things you would say, set me straight on this. I need to know about this. I believe we have a very good way of recognizing Jesus, not just here in this place, but every day and every moment of our life. Did you know who the oldest person in the world has been the last couple months? She died last week. Geraldine Teasy of Inkster, Michigan, was the oldest person in the world. She turned 116 on May 23rd. And of course, people ask her about her life. This is what she said. The best advice I can give you, if I do not want you to tell a lie about me, I won't tell a lie about you. Treat your fellow man, I don't care what color, treat your fellow man like you want to be treated. And when she was asked why she lived so long, she said, I don't know, ask him. In the long run, over a long period of time, we tend to find some clues to the biggest questions of life. Today's the first official day of summer, as well as Father's Day. For me, the summer season is the time when there are not quite as many meetings or as many group things, a time for special times with family, maybe a little more relaxed at times when I can ponder some of the bigger issues of life and get more of a long-term view. As we take that long-term view, as you reflect on these upcoming summer days, and you have questions, will you recognize Jesus when he's there to answer them? Do you remember where the hymnals are in the sanctuary? Pull one out, please, the United Methodist hymnal. I want to show you something. I know with the screens we don't use them as often as we used to, but turn to page 40, if you would. Page 40 in the United Methodist hymnal. This hymnal dates to 1989. I was a member of the General Conference in 1988, which approved this hymnal. But there was one thing that really surprised me in it, and it was part of the baptismal liturgy. The first two questions on page 40 surprised me. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? I thought, what in the world is that doing in such a happy occasion as a baptism? Here we have usually a child, an infant. We're giving thanks to God for the birth and life of that infant. The parents are joyous, the grandparents are there, the church welcomes a new person. A happy occasion, and we're talking about evil, oppression, the things that are wrong in this world. A good friend of ours who's a Roman Catholic Monsignor reminded me that these are words from the ancient Christian liturgy going back more than 1,500 years. We've actually restored them. Well, let me ask you now, after the events of Wednesday night in Charleston, is there evil oppression in our world? If there's anything that we need to prepare our young people for, it's to be able to cope with the evil that's in our world. As United Methodists, we usually take the positive point of view. We talk about love and grace and forgiveness. We talk about the happy things. Garrison Keillor calls us the happy Methodists. We realize at times like this week how much there is evil around us. And yet, there's a power greater than that. The banner headline in yesterday's New York Times, across the front, was a quote from one of the relatives of a person who was killed in Charleston Wednesday night. The banner said, "I'll never be able to hold her again, but I forgive you." And I had the radio on as I drove to Holland this morning. And they were talking about what a strange thing that people could be forgiving even after an atrocity that killed a powerful pastor, three other pastors, and five other people in a place called a sanctuary where people are supposed to be safe. Is there evil in this world? Do we need to counteract it? Do we need another power against it? Absolutely. What's the difference between those who give in to evil like that? To me, there's no doubt that this was a hate crime, based on what the man who shot those people said himself. It was hate, it was evil, it was racism. We may not confront that every day in our life, but it's around us and near us. I think Nelson Mandela said it beautifully. As he came out of Robben's Island years ago, after all those years of imprisonment, he said, "As I walked out the door toward the gate that would lead to my freedom, I knew that if I didn't leave my bitterness and hatred behind, I'd still be in prison." How remarkable that someone who's lost their pastor and close friends and relatives can so immediately say, "I grieve, but I forgive him." The media is always curious about how people can be so different. You know what? When we can take that stand, we're recognizing Jesus beside us. It may not be Jesus of Nazareth, but it's the Christ, and as you heard in the scripture this morning, it's the Holy Spirit. Remember, we have one God, God the Creator, Jesus the Christ, the Holy Spirit, three forms of the same God. And so it's God's Holy Spirit in us that makes the difference, that helps us to be what we would not be otherwise. Do you recognize the times when you do something differently because you're Christian? As you make decisions about extending love, generosity, working at some service project, do you recognize the times when you would not do it that way if you were not a person of faith? Some of us have gotten so used to a lifestyle like that that we forget why we do it. It's Jesus beside us. It's Jesus inside us. I ran across a book not too long ago. The title is Jesus Continued: Why Jesus Inside You is Better Than Jesus Beside You. Jesus inside us is the Holy Spirit, motivating us, changing us, helping us to be what God intended us to be. In the scripture that was read earlier, usually we hear that at a funeral. At least the verses before that and some of the verses, because one of the words that can be translated is translated as comforter or advocate. In the version you heard this morning, it's called companion. And the meaning of companion is one who walks beside me. We can add to that that though Jesus may figuratively walk beside us, it's the Holy Spirit inside us that makes the difference, that makes us be more of what God created us to be and helps us maybe not to be able to articulate the spiritual answers, but at least to know it's different. And we are going to be different people because of that. So today, let's celebrate that not just today, not just in Charleston this morning as they reopen that church and worship in the midst of tragedy, but every day ahead of us, summer, fall, winter, spring, Jesus may not physically be beside us, but God, the Christ, the Holy Spirit is within us. In the scripture read this morning, Jesus predicted how evil would come into the world. He said, "The world's ruler is coming." But then Jesus said, "He's got nothing on me." In the Revised Standard Version, it goes, "He has no power over me." We don't know what's going to happen this week in Holland, in Michigan, in the world. We don't know when there's going to be another mass shooting or another war. We don't know what's going to happen to the 60 million people on earth who are displaced, who have no home because of war. We don't know how many people are going to be killed needlessly. We don't know who amongst us is going to get cancer or something else that is devastating. But what we do know is that what's wrong, what's evil, what is oppression, does not have the greater power. We know, whether we're fathers or mothers or friends, that whatever confronts us in the days to come, there's a power greater than the power of the world. And whatever seems to be the evil thing that overtakes the world must face a greater power. And that's the power of God in Christ through the Holy Spirit. How easy it is to forget that when we get overwhelmed, but how powerful it is. As Jesus was leaving, he said, "I'm going to be with you forever." And they knew that soon after that, that physically his body would be gone. But I hope you and I, especially when we need it the most, can recognize the Jesus inside us. and we can celebrate the fact that no matter what, that power is the power of our life and of the world. And when you catch yourself doing something and wondering, why am I doing this good? It's really not like me. I'd really rather do something else. Give thanks for the Holy Spirit tugging within you and helping you to be what Christ would want you to be. Let us pray. Thank you, God. You haven't left us alone. You're with us through that powerful Holy Spirit. Those of us who are fathers and grandfathers give thanks that you've guided us, especially when we felt inadequate. All of us have felt your tug, helping to lead us to do the extraordinary thing that you call us to do. We give thanks for your Holy Spirit. We give thanks in this season after Pentecost for all that that means to us. Help us to be alive. Help us to know the power in our faith. And help us to see you, to feel you, to share you. We ask this through Christ. Amen.